I want to talk to you just for a little bit about a full understanding of why Rhema must be personal. Full understanding. And I heard these words: no personalization, no grace. No personalization, no grace. Crazy. That conversation, I couldn't leave alone. It's come up in probably about 2 or 3 different fellowships in the last probably 4 days. That same topic of grace and personalization has been coming in. It's been in my study, and it's like it just clicked. It's why we become personal. Your personal relationship is a bridge for the grace of God. It's an absolute bridge for the grace of God. It's what gives grace the ability to be grace. It really does. And so I want to talk to you about that today. Really, the title would be No Personalization, No Grace. And we're going to just, it's the full understanding of why God wants to make everything personal. Mm-hmm. It's so simple. You're going to be blessed by it. In Romans chapter 15, in Romans 15, it says here, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ." This is Paul talking to them. Church of Rome, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." He said, "I have fully preach the gospel of Christ." It says here, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." Now, the word "wrought," first of all, I think it's important to note up here, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given me." We all know what grace is. It's that divine influence. What do you think divine influence is for? It's for personalization. Divine influence, the word grace means divine influence. So grace is divine influence. So it is grace that was given Paul. Paul said, and watch how this whole thing flows. Paul said that, "I've been given this divine influence so that I can become a minister." That's powerful. I haven't been given just revelation knowledge. I've been given influence. He influences my decisions. He controls the way I do things. I let him come into my personal realm, and he has influence. And Paul called it grace. If God is going to make things personal with you, he's pouring out grace. Isn't that right, Omar? If he's making it personal, he's multiplying grace. All right, watch this. So Paul said, watch this. Now, he proves it down here. He said, "I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me." So in other words, if it hadn't influenced me, it's pointless to talk about. If there's no influence on my life, I really have nothing to say to you. He said, I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me And the word wrought here means to work fully or to accomplish, to finish or fashion, perform, work out. It means achieve. To do that which something results. Paul is saying, if I haven't personally experienced it, I'm not going to say anything. If it hasn't become personal, I can't minister this gospel. Because if I minister something, watch this, if I minister the gospel to the Gentiles that hasn't affected me, I'm going to give them a whack gospel. I want to submit to the church, we have a whack gospel in the body of Christ. Yeah, I just said that. I did, and it's being recorded. We have a whack gospel, and the reason why the church, we've been stuck, is because we got a bunch of leaders teaching that haven't been taught or hasn't worked in their life yet. It hasn't panned out like that for them yet, so they're up teaching, and what's happening, Paul said, I dare not talk about anything that hasn't come. He said, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, it says, I have fully, see, until there are the signs and wonders, until change can come to place, you're not fully preaching the gospel. You're not preaching the gospel. Until there's an anointing that has come from the personalization that flows in your life, you're not going to be able to bring change to the people around you. So what you do when you only have words is you're ensnaring them. You're not going to make them grow. And Paul said, I will not dare do that to the Gentile. He said here, I was given this grace. I've been influenced. So what I do is I preach through the influence. I preach through personal influence. I preach through my personal experiences that I should be the minister. Why? So that I could be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, so that they too can be sanctified by the experience they have with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if I ain't going through it, I really can't say too much. That's what's wrong with the body now. We got all this word, but not enough experience. And that's a problem. Because people aren't preaching under real, you said it yesterday, it was really powerful. Homer said, when people aren't preaching under real grace. He said, when I heard you give that definition, he said, Apostle, when you gave that definition on grace, he said, I always thought grace was just unmerited favor. He said, that's what I learned. He said, but then you gave a definition about the divine influence of God. He said, so now what he said, unmerited favor, I've learned, it was so profound. Is a result. It now becomes a result. But it's not the catalyst of what grace is. The catalyst of grace is the influence that gets results. The influence on the heart that really, and what makes it unmerited favor, it's so powerful when you really run it down. We taught this years ago, and I'm telling you, I don't know how you get tapped like you do. We learned years ago that what makes unmerited favor, is that influence. Because when you're influenced, it's not you. It's him. So the whole movement of grace is all him. But there has to be a place where he becomes personal with you and now is able to really take over how you think and view things. That positions you for what we're going to study out right now, for the promise. Without the influence, you're not positioned for what they call unmerited favor or the promise. Because how many seeds were promised? One seed was promised everything. So if God sees your daddy's seed in you, your daddy's seed, your earthly daddy, you will not flow under grace. Rhema, being in Rhema, positions us for all of this right here. It's all about being in the study. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. So now, Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Let's look at what Paul says here. It says, for I, we read this here. This is really powerful. This, it's coming back to light. We read this a couple weeks ago, but it's really going to come to light right now. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. All right? I am crucified with Christ. Paul understood his position. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate. We learned this some years ago, but watch how it just taps right in. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What happens when you are in a place of generalization and you're only seeing the generalized God and you get into your self-efforts of things? And that's usually what happens when we can only generalize God. Just by seeing him in the general state of who he is doesn't bring the express person his image, or he doesn't personalize because you view him on this high level over here. He personalizes when you let him into your private place. When you let him into your private place, now it becomes personal. And what starts to happen, Paul said here, I'm going to read it again up from top to bottom. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I died to the self-efforts of things. I'm out of here. I'm checked out. I'm not living. I'm through the law. I'm dead to it. Right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. He said, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the understanding of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Watch this. If I don't live in the life of Christ, if I don't live in his opinion, if I don't live in his facts toward me, I have now frustrated the grace of God. Help me, Jesus. Paul said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith, or by, the word faith means, by the understanding of the Son of God. Okay, follow me now. So now, the way I live by the understanding of the Son of God. So that means I take his advice in my day-to-day. Now, when I take his advice from my day-to-day, I do not frustrate grace. I let him tell me or give me his position or posture. So if I do that, I now live, watch this, I live under grace. Grace is not frustrated. And this is what frustration means of grace. To frustrate grace means you set it aside or you neutralize. My favorite one here is you violate it. What happens when you don't live by the influence of the Son of God? You violate the grace that's supposed to be given to you. To violate something means this. Watch this now. You break or fail to comply with a rule or former agreement. You break or you fail to comply with a rule or former agreement. And I said, Lord, what agreement are you talking about? I said, when we violate grace, what agreement do we nullify? He said, the agreement that said, when I saved you, you made me your personal Lord and Savior. You violate the agreement of me being personal Lord and Savior. And it's in the personalization that all of your salvation flows through. So what happens is you violate it. Or what you do, he told me, make it plain. You break covenant. You break the covenant. Oh my gosh, no, please hear me. Please hear me. This is going to really bless you. You break the covenant of him being your personal Lord when you keep him in a general picture. He's supposed to be personal.
That's good, sir.
Jesus. And what happens is because you keep him out here as a general God and won't really let him into your business, what takes place is you violate grace. You actually neutralize. I like the word neutralize. The effect or the power of grace is neutralized because you won't personalize. Jesus. That's really powerful to me. When I'm no longer being personal with him, Now I know why the favor I need doesn't come. Because he wants to influence my stubbornness. But because I won't let him influence me being stubborn, grace is neutralized. The grace I'm talking about is the favor that you need on the other end of after the influence. All right, let me talk black. Your money gets funny. That's black talk. I'm black, Henry. I can say that. Henry looked at me. What's he got? What's right? He got to say that word. I am black, Henry. All right? I had to say this all my life. I had to fight all my life. I'm that black, Henry. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So what happens is on the other end of things, seriously, what takes place on the other end of things is it's like the thing that we need God to do gets shut down because what we did was we violated it because we make Jesus, we take him out of a personal realm of our life. And what takes place is now the favor that we're looking for, the breakthrough that we're looking for, we're not getting to. And the only thing we're looking to is the breakthrough, which is ridiculous. What you first have to look to is the influence. Like you blessed me again yesterday when you said, you know what? I pray to God, and I'm sorry to put you on Front Street. He said, I pray to God. You can't hang out with me because I'll tell all your business. And I'll tell it all. If it's relevant, I'm going to tell it all. Not like that. No, if it's going to help, it becomes really a tremendous testimony. Listen, if what Omar said, he said, I was praying to God. He said, Lord, I need money. I need this money. I need a breakthrough. I need finances. And the Spirit of God told him while he was praying. And this is, oh, bless me. He said, you don't need money. You have plenty of money. You need to manage your money. See, for people that aren't growing, they'd be mad because they just want the money. But what he got excited about was the fact that God let him know, you have enough money. I'm going to make you a better manager of your money. Woo! The influence now. Now, you understand, submitting to that type of influence, what takes place is now God can give you more money because you've submitted to his influence. You've submitted to the real grace of God. And so when you stop personalizing, you neutralize. My God, you neutralize. You violate, you break or fail to comply with a rule or a former agreement. All right. The agreement is this. I told you about it. Jesus being personal Lord and Savior gets broken every time we stop allowing the express image, it should say allowing, the express image of his person to flow. Every time you are just looking for the brightness of his glory, just the brightness of his glory, just the breakthrough, just the manifestation, just Lord God, give me what I need, give me what I'm asking for. Every time you're just looking at that, you have neutralized even receiving that. Because if you're going to accept him, you're going to accept not just the brightness of his glory, but the express image of his person. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, amen.
You got to, somebody say, you got to take all of Jesus.
You got to take all of Jesus.
You can't just take the power side of Jesus. You got to take the side that understands how to walk this life. If I'm going to get the brightness of his glory, if I'm going to see the manifestation of what we know as unmerited favor, then I have to take the person, the express image of his person. I have to receive his advice.
That's right. Amen.
His counsel. So before I fuss you out, I have to be careful because if I fuss you out because I'm angry and I do that and that's not how he wanted to handle it, I just now neutralize grace for my life. Because I had a few choice words for you, but they weren't his choice. So when I speak my choice words, I've just now frustrated grace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me show you how the Message Bible says it. Okay, I'll tell you here. Read this out here. It says here, grace is now violated anytime you generalize with Christ and or take the reins for yourself, the covenant is broken. The Message Bible teaches like this, and this blew me out the water. We read this the other day, too. It says what actually took place in verse 19, it says in the Message, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Watch this. This really stood out to me this time.
What?
Christ's life showed me how. Christ's life, the way he would do it, showed me how to get out of that law. Not his words, his life. The way the word should be.
Also, as I sit here, this is Paul saying
this. Yes, it is.
The one that was trying mm-hmm. to kill other
yes.
people. Those words make so powerful
because
to me.
He was a Jew of all Jews.
Yes.
A Pharisee of all Pharisees. Concerning the law, that's right, Renessa. Concerning the law, he was blameless in it. The boy functioned in the law. He said, he didn't just say the law. He said the righteousness of the law, I was blameless. So what he did was release all of that to follow after this. The Christ life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I stepped out of self and I stepped out of my own personal way of doing things by accepting his personal ways. Jesus. The Lord, I just heard this word. This might blow somebody away. I heard this word. Prophetess, he said, if you will preach it the way I live it, it will be true gospel.
Mm. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh, man.
That's good right there.
He said, if you would preach it the way that I live it, the gospel would become true. But if you just preach it the way you read it, that ain't true gospel. Mm. Jesus, somebody needs to write that down.
Take that to the bank.
Boy, take that to the bank. My God. Preach it the way I live it. Don't preach it the way it's been written. Man, Christ's life showed me how. And reading on, it says, it enabled me to do it. I identified myself. Listen to this. Completely. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. My ego. Does anybody know what your ego is? The way you do it. It's actually the pride behind why you do it. That's what ego is. It's like what makes you you. He said, my ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Now that's deliverance. Jesus. Oh my gosh. I'm no longer walking around on my tippy toes trying to make God happy by avoiding this or avoiding that. What I do is this. I follow after the life of Christ. I hear from him. Help me. Let me show you what I'm talking about, okay? Typically, on the Sabbath day, men couldn't do anything that looked like labor, right? Well, the life of Jesus did something different. He healed on the Sabbath day. See, the word said don't do anything that was laboring. Then he said that he made a statement. If your donkey was in the ditch on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you get him out? So now, it wasn't what was written. It's how he lived it that was important. That's what Paul is saying here. He said here, my ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. So in other words, I don't keep the Sabbath the way y'all do anymore. That's not how I roll. If the Lord tells me to go to the movies on the Sabbath day, and go. You know what's weird? The Jews walk everywhere on the Sabbath day. Isn't it harder to walk than to drive?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it more work?
That's true.
Isn't it more work? I'm like, it's harder to walk. Isn't it easier to navigate a vehicle?
Yes.
Yeah. Say it again. Especially when it rains.
They have to run,
when it rains. It's like, duh. But because they're Sabbath keepers.
Yes.
Let me tell you what Jesus would have done. He'd have gotten that car.
Uh-huh.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. No longer trying to impress God. Christ lives in me, The life you see me living is not mine. It's so powerful. It's not mine. Man, I got so personal that I have adopted all of his ways. The life you see me living, it is not mine, but is lived by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Somebody say, I'm not going back.
Not back.
Say, never looking back.
Never looking back.
And never going back.
Never going back.
I'm not living like that no more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get his opinions or his facts, and I'm going to live my life through him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, here we go. We're just framing out what we've been learning. It is not clear, is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal? I abandon, watch this now, I abandon everything personal, and watch what happens as a result of abandoning the personal with him. Everything personal and free in my relationship with God, question, I refuse to do that to repudiate God's grace. Oh, snap. When I step out of what's personal and free, I repudiate the grace of God. Man, come on. So watch this, Mother Ann. You're just hypothetically speaking, you're in a situation where you don't know what to do. So you do what you think you should do. But God didn't give you that answer. But you do it. Guess what you just did? Because you didn't wait and just make it personal and tell him, I don't know what to do. You need to show me. But the pressure behind it was too much, so you just did it. So now what you did was you frustrated his grace, or you nullified his grace because you did it because you didn't want to wait for him to tell you how to do it. And you know what stinks? We got to be crazy in TGM because we know how to get to his presence. It's just by getting into the study of what we've been hearing, and we step right into his influence. God be telling me things so fast and how to fix it so fast, it's ridiculous. There's no wait period. There's no wait period. People that have to wait aren't under the word.
Jesus.
They have to wait for a word. Do you realize that the rhema word is the now?
It's the end.
Jesus. It is due season?
Yes.
So my answer is right there in the rhema word.
Right there.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. He says here, if a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died. This is crazy. Then he died unnecessarily.
Wow.
That's so good. That the purpose of Jesus dying was for it to become this. So he could show you how to do it because he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and he owns everything. That's what we're going to talk about next. He owns everything. Why don't you want the advice from the dude that owns it?
That's it.
What? Father, I'm having a hard time paying my rent. I own the house. What you want me to do? I'll take care of it. I own it. Father, my side hurts. It's been painful for the last 3 weeks in a row. I created that. I know how to fix it. See, we think he works miracles just because they're miracles. He works miracles because he knows how to. Oh, Jesus. All right. All right. Here we go. Rule keepers. This is what God told me to tell you. Rule keepers only live in the generalized place in God. There is no personalization at all. So grace stays violated. Now we know why the brightness of his glory seldom shows up in the body. Because everybody is living, most people are living in a generalized place. If I be good, then he will bless me. If you try to be good, you have nullified your blessing. That's deep. But if his life shows me how. Here we go. Old story. The promise of his blessing is for only one seed. And this came up in our conversation yesterday. I just thought it was really good to bring it here. Galatians 3:16 through 19. It says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. And I'm almost done. But as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Now you know why it has to become personal. The promises of God of healing, deliverance, prosperity, just the Zoe life, good life, is only promised to this guy here. All right? Watch this now. But watch what happens. What happens when he influences you? I'll give you a quick story. Kobe Bryant was in the league a long time, NBA. Great player. But when we, who watched Michael Jordan play, watched Kobe Bryant play, we said this. He stole Mike's moves. He patterned himself right after Michael Jordan's game to the point where he became extraordinarily successful, and he had him down. And he was awesome. Guess what? The moves he was making, he had rights to. So the success he had, it was Mike's moves, but it became Kobe's. Help me, Jesus. When Jesus is influencing on your life, the promises for him come to you. Because the moves you make are just like his son's. And the only one promised the blessing was Jesus. Here we go. And this I say, watch this now, it comes, just comes alive. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, listen to this, the law which was 430 years after. So the law came 430 years after God promised that the seed of Abraham would be the one to carry the promise. The law came after that, right? But the law came 430 years after God told Abraham that, but it could not disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, the law did not cancel who the promise was really going to go to. 430 years after God told Abraham that I'm going to bless your seed, and it wasn't Isaac, it was Christ, that he would be the one that inherits all things. Watch me now. It says here, here's the next one right here. It says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. So now, if you think you're going to be blessed because you're trying to get blessed or stay positioned for the blessing, and you think that because you're trying to do it good, you think it's coming like that, it's never going to touch you. That's how they lived under the law, but the law did not bring the promise. They lived a good life, but it was not the promise. Help me, Jesus. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Watch this. It says there, it says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come. No more generalizing with God. Everything now is personal with God. No more, rule keeping is generalization. But having a relationship and his love pointing the direction of why, man, that's personalization. No more law keeping. If you give your tithe, like we said, because you think you're going to be cursed, you are now moving under the law. And the promise that comes behind it won't come. Because it said, we'll do the law because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels. There it is, that angel thing again. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. In other words, God was the mediator. Only God. God made the transfer that every promise would now be in his son. Mediators sit at those tables when families are going through after a loved one dies. And a mediator sits there and they mediate how things should be divided. Your mediator in the promise was God himself. And guess what? He's not just the mediator. He's the one that made the promise. Wait. If Omar writes a will, if Henry writes a will, Henry sits down, writes his will. Henry dies. All right? I didn't choose you, Henry, to say that. Omar dies. All right? Go back to Omar. Omar dies. Now, can Omar being dead mediate his own will?
No.
No. Well, God said, I'm not just the writer of it. I mediate it to make sure it's done right.
Wow.
Jesus. So what happened here is, now, the law was only good. Your rule keeping was only good until the seed came. So now what takes place is the seed, or the way the seed, or the way that Jesus would do it, is how we must now do it. So we now can receive, through God's mediation, all of the promise. We good? Am I the only one geeked up on that? I'm geeked on that. I'm really geeked on that. No, seriously. Because it says here, until Jesus is able to personalize with you, there is no promise manifesting on your life. Healing and prosperity, they're in violation. Your healing is being violated because you won't personalize with him. Your prosperity is in violation because we won't personalize. You know what stinks? And what I've noticed, Prophet, is every time I start to personalize, the devil tries to come and take me out of personalization. Every time I start to have a really good relationship with the Lord through the word, and I'm lining up because of him, not because of rule keeping, but he's starting to get my attention. Mark 4, the distractions of this age come to steal. Watch this. The seed. You didn't hear that. Who's the seed?
Jesus.
They come to steal his way of doing it.
That's right.
I'm not just talking about words. They come to steal the seed. And when the seed is gone, when you can't really connect with him, all your grace is on stagnation. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Somebody say, I'm not going back.
I'm not going back.
I'm never looking back.
Never looking back.
I'm never going back.
Never going back.
And I'm receiving spiritual illumination. Here's confirmation. Everything I said, back to our home scripture. Imagine that, to get confirmation. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past. Now watch this. I told you Jesus owned everything. And watch this. And boy, oh boy, the whole formula is right here. Everything's right here in Hebrews 1:1-3. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. We've already read this. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, we just said, who is the promise made to?
It's Jesus.
The one true seed, right?
Yes.
It says in Hebrews, he hath made... It says here, he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Uh-oh. Now I understand why he is talking to us, according to the verse number one. He's talking to us. Why? Because he is heir of all things. That's why it used to be prophets, but now I know why it's Jesus. Because he owns all things. All right, watch this. I'm going to just say this, and I promise you, I'm about done. You are at the source for every problem you face when you talk to Jesus.
That's good right there. That's good.
Somebody say, I'll look no further.
I'll look no further.
When you personalize, you're at the source of where your problem gets fixed. What better place to be than at the source? So now, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And then he tells us why. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the world. Anybody see all things there?
Yes.
All things? That's everything. You know what all means? If I've told you what all means, it means him, her, that, this, whosoever, whatsoever. These are all definitions of all. This, that, whomsoever, whatsoever, her, him. So basically, all things. Let's say you need a new liver. All things. He's the many-breasted one. El Shaddai. The many-breasted one. You want to know what many means in the Bible? When you hear many? The voice of many waters. It speaks of multitudes. So he has a multitude of breasts, and each breast that he allows you to come and teep from carries whatever you need. So there's a breast for healing.
Yes, it is.
She did it. There's a well that never runs dry. You know why he still has milk? He just told me that. He said, because I'm having kids every day.
Wow. Wow. That's good.
Oh, man.
That's good right there.
Hallelujah. That's he said, because I'm people getting born again every day.
Yes. Woo, that's good right there. Always got
it. Man, that's good.
That was nasty supply. Right.
See? Hey. All right, you guys are crazy. Right. I'd be going, man, if I was in your seat, I'd be going crazy. Yeah, I want to go crazy right now. See, no, you understand that. You can lay up on his breast like John did, man. And you can lay up on his breast. The Bible says he laid up on his breast. You can lay up on his breast like John did, get personal with him, get real close, and then he'll start pouring in sustenance to you for whatever it is you need. But it's through personalization. It's through the personalization. When you personalize, that's when that milk's going to flow. The land of milk and honey, that's that favor, that unmerited, that's that money spot. Man, that's really good. Okay, I'm just about done. Providence did that. That was good. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express, he's heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, here it is. Who being the brightness of his glory, we graduated from just knowing him there, and the express image of his person. And what he does is, he lets her drive. He lets her drive. He upholds. He lets her drive. Who's her? Us, the bride. He lets her drive. Watch this. He upholds all things by letting her drive. He upholds all things by the word of his power. What happens is rhema produces his power, and he lets her dry. When he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here's the last note. The full promise of God is only on Christ. When he is able to show you through rhema how to live like him, you will become a joint heir with him in it. Bottom line. When he can tell you how to do it, when your ego is no longer central, man, you know who tests my ego all the time? Beth. No, she's my ego tester. She really is. And I'm winning now again. And I'm winning. And I'm not talking about winning over Beth. I'm winning because my ego is no longer central. You know that one person that pushes your ego? Because they have a strong ego themselves. That's Beth. And so what I'm learning to do is she'll humble herself here, but then I'll come even underneath that. Then I'll watch her go even deeper. I'll say, okay, I'll trump you on that. And I'll go even deeper. And our relationship is about roses and whipped cream right now. Everything's really nice. Isn't it, Beth? We're doing good. But my ego, and she understands talking to me too. Her ego can't be central. Because we will butt heads. So so it's an ego check, and I'm letting God, really, I'm letting Christ, the life he lives, show me how to talk and show me how. And we go through this, and sometimes I get a good stride, and then the devil will come and blindside. But now I'm ready for his blindside. I'm ready for his move. Because I'm not going to let my ego become central there. And I'm learning that in a lot of areas in my life right now, being honest with you. It's being worked through me, and I'm enjoying it. But I'm not trying to do it. I'm letting him show me how. And favor is built. Unmerited favor. Because his influence is in the house. If you want favor in the house, influence has to be there. Remember, no personalization, no grace. Amen? I'm done. And that's it. That is it. And I'm loving it. This conversation, like I said, has come up like two or three times, maybe more. And it's really was something I think necessary to understand. Anybody feel the warmth of this person in the room right now?
Yes.
I feel
yes.
it really, really strong.
Yes.
That's because he's personalizing. Just lift your hands. We got a good bath in worship. We got a wonderful, wonderful bath in worship. Thank you for that, Omar. It was really, really wonderful. And thank you, Holy Ghost.
Yes, Jesus.
Primarily. Just lift those hands. Feel where you are right now. Understand your position right now. Understand that you're not in a general place with him. understand that he's right up against everything in your life. He's not far. He is Shama. He's present. He's right now for you. There's nothing general about your atmosphere right now. You have no secrets from him right now. The walls of secrets have been broken down, and therefore you have been broken down, and he's starting to mount up in you. Strength and his wisdom is right there. His counsel is so close to you. His attitude or posture of how to move, whether it be man or lion, ox or eagle, whatever characteristic he wants you in is so close to you right this very moment. Ah, hear this. You don't have to do it by yourself. He said, in fact, you don't have to do it at all. I've already done it for you. Step into what I've already finished. Step into my attitude. Be attitude. Be my attitude. Be my attitude. Be my attitude. Ubarakaba. Be my attitude. Ha, there's a Gethsemane anointing right now for some of us here. Be my attitude. When it was too hard on me, I said, Father, Father, please. If it be possible, please let this cup pass from me. But then the Father revealed that it wasn't going to pass. So then I caught a wind thermal. And when I caught my thermal and the ox came on me, I said, nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done. But there's a Gethsemane anointing. There's a posture of man. Even right now, for some of you that understand it's just a little too difficult to navigate. And so you can lift your hands and tell me all about it. And you can be my attitude. You can be my attitude. He said, be my attitude. Hallelujah. Be my attitude. My attitude. If you got a release, say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you, Jesus, for giving me your attitude. Devil has to offer. Don't give up your ground. Hey, Jesus. Thank you.